Take your Bibles, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you missed this morning's sermon, let me challenge you. Listen to it online. I promise it'll help you. I hate sometimes saying this, but it's a life-changing truth if you can get it. I preached a sermon this morning about living the abundant life. And boy, it's so contrary to what the world, you know, if you go to the average Christian bookstore, there's probably 30 books about the abundant life, and none of them tell you what God says. You got what God said this morning, plain and simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verses 7 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll preach, and I really believe I'm going to get you out about 5 or 6 minutes early tonight, so... I said, I believe. I didn't say it's for sure, but I'm going to try really hard here. Verses 7 through 10. Ready? And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit, next 30, 35 minutes, please help me to... Help me to rightly divide the word of truth for your people. Help them to understand and help us to understand. Give me clarity of mind as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me say this. Experiencing the grace of God is one of the most wonderful things in life. If you've ever been to where you have needed and gotten the grace of God, it's one of the sweetest things you'll ever experience in all of life. To have the God of the universe lovingly reach down and put his grace upon you, there's nothing like it, let me tell you. But may I say this, I wouldn't want to face life without God's grace. Here's the problem. Needing God's grace means you're flat on your back. Needing God's grace means you're deep in a hole. Means you're desperate. It means you're in great need. It means you're in a situation that stinks. Needing God's grace is not enjoyable. Getting God's grace is wonderful, but needing it really isn't good. Let me show you what I mean. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now watch this. When does God's grace come in? When you realize you're a sinner deserving hell. Yes, sir. Until you get somebody realizing, uh-oh, I can't do this, and I'm in a bad way, then you need God's grace. You remember when you got saved, how good it felt? But those moments before then, you weren't feeling real good. In other words, I am extremely thankful for God's grace. But may I say this, the process to get it's not real enjoyable. 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Bible says that there was a messenger from Satan who came to buffet me. And that's not buffet, okay? It wasn't going to Golden Corral. The word there, Paul said that he had a thorn in his flesh, and there is a messenger from Satan sent to him to apply that thorn in the flesh. Now, that word messenger is literally the Greek word angel, angel. In other words, there was a messenger, an angel from hell that came and was buffeting the Apostle Paul. Now, listen to this very carefully. Christians cannot be demon-possessed. They cannot inhabit the Holy Spirit is there, and God and the Holy and demons cannot reside one with the other. Amen. It is impossible. Okay? By the way, a demon can only inhabit a dead spirit. That's why Judas Iscariot was lost, because he became Satan incarnate. He had no spirit, therefore the devil could take it over because there was no spirit there. Once you have a spirit, the devil cannot take you over. Right. He can come and buffet you. He can come and pester you. He can come and bring heartache and grief and pain and all kinds of things to you, but he cannot inhabit you. That makes sense, everybody? Sure. So there's a lot of misteaching out there about that. But this angel, a fallen angel, this is one of the angels that fell with Satan, Lucifer, in Isaiah chapter 14, came and was buffeting. That word buffet literally means to hurt, to inflict pain, other things. In other words, causing trouble. All right? Now, listen to this very carefully. We humans are full of sinful pride.
Amen, preacher.
Case in point. Oh, my soul. You know, some preachers work hard at illustrations. Others, you just do it for us. Amen? Yeah, buddy. We humans are full of pride due to our sin. We really do think we're something. You know, the average person thinks they really are pretty smart. You know, do you know that Hillary actually thinks she's smart? Do you know this Cortez chick thinks she's smart? Yeah. Now, because we think we are smart, we put ourselves... By the way, it goes back to the first sin, that you may know that you can choose and be like God. In other words, we humans want to be God. And we lift ourselves up to where we know as much as God knows. By the way, that's why the Catholic Church is so popular. You say, why? Because you can be your own little God. And you have a human that you can say, okay, he stands in the place of God for me. So as long as I do what he says, it's okay. And what he says means we go to the bar together and drink together and we'll talk about this and everything will be all right. You see, God's grace is there to show us you can't do it on your own. God's grace is there to show you, verse number 10 says, therefore I take pleasure in mine infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It doesn't say when I am strong, I am strong. It says when I am weak, I am strong. When we put ourselves in a place of submission and let God's power work through us, then we become strong. Monday, when I stood and spoke at a funeral, it was a rough crowd. Ask my wife. It was a bit of a rough crowd. Now, not bad people, but a rough crowd. There were so many X's there, we didn't know who the O's were. I mean, there was X's of X's of X's who were married to other X's and there for the funeral. So, the DNA was all over the place. It was crazy. I'll be honest with you. I was doing okay. I said, look, I know I'm not your pastor. I said, but if you'll let me pastor you for a few minutes, I think I could help you. I had one guy sat on the front row and he went like this. And he refused to look at me the whole time I was there. He would not shake my hand. He would not acknowledge me. He would not acknowledge my wife. I went to him and I went like this and he went like this. He walked right past me. Twice I tried. I tried everything I could. Now, his wife was laughing. His daughter and son-in-law were laughing. They were smiling. They were in agreement. He just sat there at the funeral, at the graveside. He walked within as close as one is to me, right here, put the casket down, faced the other direction, and walked away as I spoke to him. He said, did that bother you? Nah. I just preached. Gave the gospel and had 15 people get saved. Do you think I'm going to let one idiot bother me? I was weak. You have to understand something. I'm not as bold as people think I am. I'm a coward. I hate confrontation. I don't like confrontation. I'm not kidding when I say I go knocking on doors and I go, man, I hope they're not home. After 39 years of soul winning, my favorite statement is inside, I hope they're not home. And then you hear the floor going. I'm thinking, oh God, I got to talk. Please help me. You say, why? And I've knocked on millions of doors. I've talked to millions and millions and millions of people. But I still get that little, man, I hope they're not home. I really do. Now, once the door pops open, something happens. And it just comes. But that process from standing at the door to, there's a pause of, please don't let them be here. I get it. After all these years, all the sermons I've preached, all the soul winning I've done, all the people I've talked to, all the different situations I've been in, I still hate it. But I still do it. Now, you say, why does that bother you? Because nobody likes to be rejected. Man, I've had guns pointed in my face. I've been chased off porches. I've had people let their dogs loose on me. And I'm not talking little ankle nippers either. I'm talking big dogs. I've had shepherds come through the doors at me. You name it. Yeah, buddy. You say, how do you get out of that situation? You throw your buddy on the ground and you run faster than him. That's what you got soul winning partners for, amen? I pick slower ones, amen, Brother Barnes? Now, wait a minute. I've been chased around yards, you name it. It's happened. Soul winning can be fun. You don't need to watch TV. You can go soul winning and have more fun than watching TV, I promise you. Now, I want you to notice, God says here, unless we should be exalted above measure. Sometimes we get a little too big for our britches, so to speak. Sometimes when that happens, the satanic angels, satanic messengers come, and they begin to buffet us. And then we realize we need God. Now, when we realize we need God, usually we're broken, bloody, bruised, beat up, and not feeling real well. It's not until then, usually, that we say, I need you. Did you ever notice God's usually the last person you go to, and you're on your back when you need him? Now, because of our pride, because of our sin, and be getting beat on every once in a while, why do we whine and cry? Why do we whine and cry about needing God's grace? It's there for us. Now, listen to me very carefully. God's grace is available, and God can help us to where we might be thankful we had the problem to begin with. My hip is, this time of year, feeling like somebody stuck a red hot poker in it. It's just part of life. I can sit here and whine and cry about it, or I can remember God gave it to me so that I would surrender to preach. It's the thorn in the flesh. Lying on my back as a 9-year-old boy, and Harold Henniger and Bob Johnson walked into the hospital room to make a visit. When they walked out, God pricked my heart, and God said, wouldn't you like to do that someday? Whew. I'd like to encourage somebody, but I don't think I could be like them. You know how many hundreds of thousands of hospital rooms I've been in and out since then? Where did it start? because God put a boy in the hospital with a bad hip. Now, I didn't surrender to preach then, but that's when it started. You see, don't get me wrong. You don't have to be flat on your back to get God's grace, but most of the time we are, because of our pride. I don't have to be thankful for the problem. I can be thankful for God's grace. Lord, I really don't want a problem, but I'll take your grace. And you know, if you give me the whipped cream, I don't need the rest of the mess that goes underneath it, you know? And I'm the opposite. I want the stuff under the whipped cream, and I don't want the whipped cream. But either way, I can be thankful not because of the problem or for the problem, but I can be thankful for God's grace. Let me show you five areas. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We need to quit whining and complaining when problems and difficulties come. Every time they do come, it's an opportunity for you to see God's grace. Well, I just don't think it's fair that Christians have to suffer. I'm so tired of hearing those kinds of statements, it bothers me. Well, if I was God, I wouldn't let my kids suffer. And now you know why most kids are pieces of trash these days. We don't let them suffer. Suffering is a part of life. Sometimes that suffering's good. One knows what I'm talking about. My son works for Department of Corrections. You have to get OC sprayed. I just watched his face turn. It's not fun. You say, why do they do that? Two reasons. You say, well, I know why they do it. They don't want you to inflict harm on someone till you know how it feels. That's only part of it. In where my son was trained, up until about 2 years ago, the OC spray, they would put it on a Q-tip and just put it under the guy's eyes and under their nose. And they wouldn't get the full effect of it. And they found out, the guys that were trained that way, when OC spray was deployed in the field, they couldn't handle it and they ran out and the problem kept getting worse. You have to get full frontal with it so that you know how to keep going when it's, because when it's sprayed, you're going to get it one way or the other. You won't get the full effect of it, but you're going to have to be able to keep. Prisoners aren't going to let you just walk out of the room choking and coughing and spitting and sputtering and say, okay, I give up. They got nothing else to live for. Say, what is that? They needed that pain to get them through it. My son told me this. He said, Dad, I have never pulled my OC spray yet. He said, one time we had a situation and I reached for my belt, and he said, everybody within 30 feet of me fell on their face and got down on their hands and knees. He said, they fear that more than a gun. He said, it was pretty cool. He said, I was a little upset I didn't get to use it. He said, everybody just stopped. Boom, pow. They knew what to do. Now, wait a minute. I say that to say this. God's grace is much the same way. Sometimes you need it, even though it's uncomfortable, so that you know how to go through it the next time. Let me show you five things here, and I'll be done. Number one, God's grace is sufficient, verse number 10, in infirmities. In infirmities. That word infirmity literally means physical or biological issues. It's your health. How many of you have ever heard a place where you would go, maybe at the shop or somewhere else, called an infirmary? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's a place where you get medical treatment. It's at an infirmary. Say why? Because it fixes infirmities. It's the same word. You see, an infirmary fixes infirmities. It is a biological. These are sicknesses, diseases, wounds, that type of pain issues. You see, sickness or infirmity is a result of sin. God does not really want you thankful for being sick. But we can rejoice in the fact that God's grace is available when we are sick. I hear these people all the time. Oh, praise the Lord, I had the flu last week. You're an idiot. You don't praise the Lord for flu. Well, hallelujah, I had a kidney stone. Well, I didn't say hallelujah when I had my last one. I was saying, oh God, but it was get this thing over with. 2 weeks ago tonight, I was bent over at 1 o'clock in the morning at the thing in my kitchen going, oh God, my wife's saying, do we need to go? I said, not yet, but let's see, give me just a little while. I'd just gotten through dry heaves from so much pain. He said, why didn't you go? Because I knew I was about to the end of it, and probably from that time till I could have got to the hospital, it would have been over. Just had to hold on a little tighter, a little longer, and hopefully I didn't pass out. And I made it. Praise the Lord. Now, I say that to say this. Those are infirmities. And God's grace is there when you're going through the infirmities. Listen to this statement. Let's not complain and grumble. Let's focus on God's grace. God's grace may not take away the pain. God's grace may not take away the cancer. God's grace may not take away the infirmity, but we can rejoice in the fact that there is grace available while we have it. Everybody understand that? Well, what if I get cancer, preacher, and I die? We can give God thanks for the grace that he has given us to get through it. Marlene Evans had cancer for about, 12, 13 years, something like that, 16 years. She wrote 3 books about cancer. More people helped because one lady had cancer than any person I ever met in my life. She wrote a book, Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend. Fantastic book for somebody with cancer. You say, and it got to the point where she was ready to give up. She didn't, when I went to Bible college, she was going through chemo and she had a wig. She was slick bald. Now, Mrs. Evans was nuts. She makes Ellen and Marcia look calm. All right, she was just that kind of personality on steroids. She got thrown out of restaurants because she was too wild. I'm not kidding. She was crazy. Oh yeah, she got Brother Hiles had to rebuke her in front of church one night because she got thrown out of Pipes and Pizzas one night with a group of college girls. That was not a good thing. But I remember sitting in speech class with her my freshman year of college, and she said, "Sometimes you just need to lose yourself." And she'd reach up and take her wig off, and she's slick bald. There's 400 or 500 freshmen in that class. And everybody's going, whoop. They don't know whether to laugh, cry, or don't, what do you do from there? And listen to her talk about it. She wasn't ashamed of it, but she would use it to help people. You see, she wasn't thankful she had cancer. She was thankful for God's grace while she had it, though. I'm not saying God's going to take it away. By the way, she died of cancer. But God used her, and God's grace was sufficient to get her through all the battles that she went through along the way. Number 2, God's grace is sufficient, the Bible says, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. The word reproach means verbal pain, insults, people who attack you with their words. I counseled somebody by text a little bit yesterday, tried to help a young lady. Somebody was being unkind to them. And I tried to help this young lady through it and said, look, I know who this person is. They don't know they're hurting you. And here's how you need to approach it. She was in a reproach. Everybody understand that? Reproach is somebody saying something negative about you. Something nasty. Somebody insulting you. We use the word offend. Offend isn't verbal. You can't offend somebody verbally. You can hurt their feelings, but an offense is stopping them. You don't have to respond with your sinful flesh when attacked verbally. You know, one of the hardest things I do as a preacher is not say some things. Oh, believe me, there are things at times I would love to. If I ever lose my mind and they put me in the nut house, don't record it because there are things that should not be said. All right, you'll know I've lost it. You don't need to be harsh and negative because somebody was harsh and negative with you. Isn't it amazing? We talk about, I just can't believe they have such a bad attitude. Okay, honey, did you look in the mirror when you just said that? We have just as bad of an attitude with people that have bad attitudes. Everybody doing okay? You wonder where your kids get it? They watch you. Case in point. You know, you don't have to respond with the flesh. God's grace can kick in and say, back it up. Let me help you and move forward. Why do we need to take harsh words so personally? You say, well, they were directed at me. Okay. So somebody's hurting. Is that a reason for you to flash back at them just because they're having a bad time? You know, well, I better. Reproach means it's going to happen over and over. Notice it says reproach. Means to do it over and over. There are some people I have to be strong enough to talk to because I know it's coming. And I get myself ready because I know the attack is coming. If I'm in public and I see someone that has attacked me, I have to get my spirit ready very quickly. My first thought is run and hide, get away from them, because I don't like confrontation. But I'm not going to live running and hiding. So, I become kind. I do that which requires God's grace. By the way, been able to win some of my enemies back that way, who are no longer my enemy. You see, their reproach may not stop. It's going to happen and happen and happen and happen and happen. I can't control them, but I can control me with God's grace so I don't have to react and be like them in response. In other words, God's grace is there to guarantee you can take it one more time than they can shovel it. I'm not much, but I can take one more punch than the devil can throw. I really can. Number three, God's grace is sufficient in necessities. The word necessities there are the basic needs of life, the things necessary for life. You know, most of us in this room have no idea what it means to need food. Most of us have enough on reserve to last quite a while. Reverse camels. Got the hump on the front instead of the hump on the back. Most of us have never truly been hungry. If you've never been to a third world country, you don't know what hunger is all about. Miss Mung knows what I'm talking about. She's been there. I've seen it. I've been there. I remember being in Mexico as a teenager on a missions trip, and we threw out spoiled potato salad. I mean, it was rancid. About a gallon and a half of it. Put it in the trash can. The Tatamata Indians came through town and they were digging through the trash cans and they were taking that spoiled potato salad and taking it out and they were feeding it to their children. And some of us on the trip were thinking, man, they're going to... And the missionary with us, he said, it's okay. They've built tolerances up. They can eat anything. He said, their bodies are situated and have built up such tolerances that botulism does not affect them at all. It put 30 of us in the hospital. And they're sitting down like it was a feast. Literally, 30 of us went to the hospital over that stupid potato salad. Because the mayonnaise in it spoiled. To this day, it takes me a lot to eat potato salad. It's just, it actually wasn't potato salad. Let me change that. There was rancid potato salad, but it was the tuna fish that was rotten. It was rotten tuna fish. It's worse than cat food. And they were sitting there eating this rancid tuna salad and rancid potato salad, and they were as happy as clams, let me tell you. And I'm over there going, bleh! I have not eaten tuna salad since that day, just so you know. And that was about 40 years ago. And I won't eat it again. Now, wait a minute. That was necessity to them. That was what food they needed. Most of you don't truly know what it means to be truly thirsty and not have any clean water to drink. There are places in this world they don't have clean water to drink. Most of you don't struggle with clothing yourself. Everybody in here has more than one pair of clothes. Most of you have enough clothes to take care of a small city in your house. Most of us, everybody in here doesn't worry about housing. You have a place to live. The Totomata Indians would wear 7 skirts. Those women would wear 7 skirts. And at night, they would use many of them for blankets for the kids, but they would take the inner or the outer one and put it underneath at the bottom, and they would rotate them, and they would wear a different skirt every day, but they wore all 7 of them. And they just kept rotating them because that's all they had. So most of us have far more in the area of food and water and necessities that we don't struggle for. Most of you spend more money in fast food than most people spend on an entire food budget all year long in third world countries. Guarantee it. We need to be thankful for God's grace in giving us far. Go home and look at your cupboards tonight and see how much food you got in there. Well, I don't like that. I don't like that. You would be if you went a week without food. You'd be ready to eat it. Number 4, God's grace is sufficient in persecutions. Persecutions is an interesting word. It means legal, government, or educational attacks. It literally is a legal or a government or an educational attack against a society. Can I tell you something? America is attacking Christianity today. America is attacking Christianity today. Our government is attacking. Say why? Because we have taught in our educational systems, supported by the United States government, that Christianity is a bad thing. For generations, we've allowed government and the education and the press to work together as an unholy trinity against Christianity.
You're right.
That is a powerful statement. The press, the government, and the public school system is an unholy trinity. They work hand in hand to break down. Do you know that in virtually most schools in America, during different parts of the year, they are taking children and indoctrinating them with Muslim doctrine, making them Muslims by what they have to recite and say. They have to take on Muslim names. This is in grade schools. We're not talking high school. We can't have a cross or we can't have a prayer at a ball game, but we have to make sure we have rooms where the Muslims can get in and go several times a day with their prayer rugs and pray. That's wicked as the devil.
Yes, sir.
Preach. I'm not against them praying, but I'm against them outlawing prayer for us.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? This generation has successfully turned the acceptance of wrong or bad into good. and that good has become bad. Did you know it's wrong to get up in any public or government-sponsored place and say that sodomy is wrong, that transgender, LGBTQ, and all the other alphabet soup gang out there is wrong? Guess what? It's wrong.
Yes, sir.
It's wrong. Well, you're just intolerant. You're exclusionary. Isn't it amazing how they now call Christians intolerant? Please note, they're the ones who label us. We don't label them. I hate to tell you this. I'm going to bring this up to our board. They're going to get a preview. I know churches, and I know good legal people, quote-unquote Christian legal people, who have it in their constitution that any staff person who's convicted of a felony is immediately dismissed from church staff. There's a day coming where preachers are going to get thrown in jail for preaching, and if you bring them back, if that's in your constitution, they can shut your church down. Because you would be violating your own church constitution to bring your pastor back if he went to jail for standing for right. Isn't it terrible we have to think that way?
But it's true.
There's coming a day where preachers like me are going to go to jail for what we preach. They won't come after you. They're going to come after me. I'm the one with the microphone and the big mouth. I'm the one they troll online listening for certain words. There's a reason I use the word sodomite. It's a legal term that I'm allowed to use because it's biblical. And they hate it worse than all their alphabet soup gang. I hate to tell you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Can I tell you something? If I go to jail, Juan will come visit me. My God's grace is going to be sufficient. I'll just be preaching in the jail. Paul and Silas did. Matter of fact, they preached so loud, so long, so hard that the Bible says God sent an earthquake and broke it up and they walked out. And Brother Roloff spent time in jail and others. Lastly, and I'll finish. You ready? God's grace is sufficient in distress. That word distress literally means the word stress, emergencies, or anxieties. Folks, I live with a high volume of emergencies around me, but I don't live stressed. Say why? Because of God's grace. God's grace. I don't let external things create emergencies in my life. I don't allow it to create stress in my life. You see, God's grace is there to keep it from getting stressful. Do you realize that God has never had to dial 911? Too many people think that God is 911 and that he has to answer you on your terms at your time when you're at your wit's end. Well, guess what? Some of you lost your wits a long time ago. Don't worry about it. Why do we stress? How about we get God's grace rather than stress? I've chosen to get God's grace rather than panic in an emergency. If the kid sticks his fingers in the lawnmower and cuts the tips of his fingers off, it's not time to stress. It's time to get him to the hospital. Stressing won't fix it. Say, how do you know? Because it happened. And on the way to the hospital, he says, Dad, don't tell him I did that. Tell him the neighbor's dog bit it. They can't. They're going to look and they're going to see dirt and grass. Tell him something else. This is embarrassing. I know better than this. No, you got to tell him the truth. But Dad, I said, just tell him the truth. But it's so stupid. I know. Just tell him the truth. Tell him you're not going to do it again. He said, that ain't going to happen again. My wife will tell you, I wasn't panicked. Mrs. Barnes will tell you, I got the phone call. I wasn't panicked. And I was moving quickly. Because my wife doesn't handle those situations. Blood and her don't go together. She's usually sitting down in a different place when the blood's flowing. She doesn't like being around it when it's her kids. Me? I've helped stitch them up more than once. Here, Doc, let me do that. You tie them, I'll pull them. I've stitched all my kids that way. I can't tell you that stress will not come. Stress will come, but stress doesn't have to stay. You see, we don't need to live under stress. We need to let God's grace pick that stress up and let His grace take care of it. Notice it says, I will take pleasure in them. Nobody enjoys financial pressure, but if you'll get through it with God's grace and not go back into it, you can have pleasure in the infirmity, in the necessity, in the distress, in the reproach, in the persecution. You can have all of those things removed by God's grace. Can I tell you something? God's grace is wonderful and it's there, but you're not going to enjoy needing it. Needing it really stinks, just so you know. But when it comes, I've needed God's grace on a building project, trust me, more than once. I remember being at the end one night. I told you the story. I said, okay, God, that's it. 4:15. I'm done. You want it? You take care of it. The next morning, a man walked into my office and said, about 4:15 last night, my wife and I sat down and talked about this, and here's a $25,000 check, preacher. What time was that? About 4:15. Excuse me for a minute. I had to walk outside and shout. He said, you okay? I said, I am now. I got to tell you a story. At 4:15 last night, I've been at my wit's end because I had a need, and this is what I told God. He said, well, that's the same time we wrote this check. I said, I know. That's why I had to step out for a second. I didn't want to yell in front of you in excitement to God. Say, what was that? God's grace. I finally decided to let the stress off, let Him take care of it, and look what He did. I could go story after story after story, but it's 4 minutes till and I'm done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Huh. I wonder how many of us need God's grace right now. Oh, if not, you will. But being in the position where you need it's not fun.